welcome to use those. We'll be in the Gospel of John chapter 3, the fourth book of the New Testament. The Gospel of John in chapter 3. I'm going to be reading the first seven verses this morning. I encourage you to follow along in your Bible as I read aloud. John chapter 3, beginning in verse number 1. And here the Bible reads, "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Father, we thank you for this morning, for this gathering, this opportunity to sing praises to your name. And Father, I do pray that as we sang our hymns and lifted our voices, that God, you were pleased to hear us giving praise and honor to your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, God, as we open the precious Word of God and look at its pages and its words, we pray that you would use your Spirit to speak to our hearts. Father, give us something that would challenge us this morning. Give us something that would illuminate our understanding and help us, Father, to comprehend what it is you have for us here today. We pray that the preaching of the Word might be plain and clear, that the ears might hear it without complication. And Father, for all that you do in our midst here today, we'll give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. I have chosen for my sermon this morning one of the most familiar passages in all the Bible. Now, probably the most familiar verse in all the Bible is found in this chapter down in verse number 16. John 3:16, of course, says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." What a wonderful verse. What a tremendous verse. What a powerful verse. What a clear verse on the presentation of the plan of God of sending his Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, down to this world to die on a cross that you and I might have everlasting life. But it's in the context of this chapter of John chapter 3 that that verse appears. And so we go back to verse number 1 and find probably the greatest, not single verse, but one of the greatest passages in all the Bible, and that is the interview between Nicodemus, who came to Jesus by night, and to whom Jesus said, "You must be born again." The conversation is summarized in those very words spoken 2,000 years ago. Though those words are 2,000 years old, many people today seem to be in ignorance of that phrase that Jesus said to Nicodemus and says to us today, "Ye must be born again." In my lifetime, it seems like it was the 1970s where that phrase kind of had a resurgence, at least here in the United States of America. Of all places, it came out of Washington, D.C. And of all people, it came out of a president. It was President Jimmy Carter back in the late 1970s that kind of gave a new emphasis, and people had a new understanding of this phrase, being born again. And in some ways, that's kind of a shame that it would take a peanut farmer turned president, and I don't mean that in a mean way, but it took someone like that to reintroduce to our culture and to our nation the phrase of born again. Because this phrase is 2,000 years old, spoken by none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. It ought to be a phrase that is common to everyone in America. It ought to be a phrase that everybody is familiar with, and yet today, in the day we live in, many are in complete ignorance to the phrase, "You must be born again." If you go to a church, and I don't like to criticize churches, but if you go to a church and they have a preacher that never tells you you need to be born again, you're not in the right kind of a church. Because you must be born again. We're going to take that phrase this morning, if we can, and we're going to look at it closely. We're going to ask some questions concerning it and see if we can come out with the complete story of what happened here in John chapter 3. I want you to consider, first of all, who said, "Ye must be born again." In verse number 3, the Bible says that Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." It's Jesus that said, "You must be born again." In verse number 5, Jesus answered, "Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." That's a pretty good authority, wouldn't you say, for the fact that ye must be born again? And that unless you're born again, you cannot see and cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Jesus Christ Himself is the author, the originator of those words. I say the originator because that two-word phrase, born again, appears nowhere in Scripture in the Old Testament and nowhere in the New Testament until Jesus introduces it in John chapter 3. And He says to Nicodemus, "Ye must be born again." This phrase was not the invention of some president. It was not invented or originated by a politician. This phrase was not invented by some TV evangelist or even a pastor or a preacher. But this two-word phrase, born again, was originated and spoken through the lips of Jesus Christ, the very Son of God. So we need to understand the importance of what Jesus said because of who it was that said it. Many people have a New Testament. Not all of them are like that. But many people have a New Testament and all the words of Jesus are in red ink. Now, I don't have a Bible like that. I'm not against those kind of Bibles. I think all the Bible has equal weight because it's all the Word of God. But at the same time, when we read these words, "Ye must be born again," they are in red ink because they were spoken by Jesus Christ Himself. Folks are kind of unusual, kind of picky these days. It's like, well, we can pick the words Jesus said that we like, and we can ignore the words Jesus said that we don't like. It's kind of like, you know, well, when Jesus talked about heaven, we'll buy into that. But when He talked about hell, well, we just don't care for that, so we won't talk about that part. We studied in our adult Sunday school hour just a little while ago, we began studying the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the peacemakers. And when we read those verses and we see those words of Jesus, they're wonderful and comforting and positive words. And people like to focus on those words. But the same person that said that said, "Ye must be born again." The same person that said, "Judge not lest ye be judged," said, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." A lot of folks want to take the ones they like and ignore the ones that they don't care for. They want to pick and choose as if God is up there just some kind of floating thing where you get to say, "Well, God, I want this part and this part, but I won't want that part or that part." Jesus said, "Ye must be born again." It was the Lord Jesus Christ that spoke those words 2,000 years ago. It is Jesus that said, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Second of all, I want you to see this, who He said it to. Not just who said it, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, but who He said it to. It says in verse number 2, in verse number 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. So we know that it's Nicodemus to whom Jesus said, "Ye must be born again." But let's think about Nicodemus for a moment. The Bible tells us he's a ruler of the Jews. Nicodemus is a very proud man. And I don't necessarily mean proud in an egotistical or a bad sense, but I simply mean this. He is proud because he's a Jew. He is one of the chosen of God from the Old Testament. The nation of Israel, founded by Abraham, their father, was called out of Ur of the Chaldees and given the land of Canaan as an inheritance. They were given the Ten Commandments upon the top of the mountain. They were given the promises of God and the presence of God in the tabernacle throughout. And they had a very special heritage. And if anybody thought that they didn't need anything other than what they had by their physical birth, It was Nicodemus. And yet Nicodemus said to this Jewish man, I want you to understand, Nicodemus, that though you're a child of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, though you're an inheritor of the nature that came from the Jews, I want you to know that your birth, your first birth isn't enough. That your national heritage isn't going to get you into heaven. That your race is not going to determine your eternity. And Nicodemus, you must be born again. There are a lot of folks even today like Nicodemus that are proud of their heritage, proud of their birth, and think, well, because of that, I surely don't need to be born again. I've run into folks that think that because they were born in America, they're Christians. You've probably run into those too. You have somebody on the street, are you a Christian? Well, of course I am. I live in the United States of America. Now, I think that's getting a little more sparse and scarce than it was in earlier days, but that used to be the common thought. Well, I'm not born in some other country. I'm not born in some place that has a different state religion. I'm born here in the United States of America, and of course I'm a Christian. They're proud of their birth and proud of their heritage and think that somehow that's going to usher us, like God's going to let all Americans into heaven simply because of the place of their birth. You know what Jesus said to a man that thought that way? You must be born again. There's folks that think, well, I grew up in church. I had a Christian family. My granddaddy was a preacher. I hear that a lot of times. There must be a lot of granddaddy preachers out there somewhere. My granddaddy was a preacher. Well, that's all fine and that's all wonderful. But that physical birth in that family did not guarantee your entry into heaven. You must be born again. And so when Nicodemus came to the Lord, I'm sure it kind of shocked and rocked his world just a little bit as he came to the Lord intending to talk about whatever was on his heart. And the Lord interrupted him and said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He's speaking to Nicodemus, a Jew, a man proud of his background. Matthew Henry, the great commentator of years gone by, said this, they that are proud of their first birth are hardly or difficultly brought to a new birth. Those that are born into a high position down here don't think they need to be born again. Those that are born into a royal line in some countries or a wealthy line here think, I don't need that. I don't need to be born. Don't you know who I am and where I came from and what my genealogy is? No, but I do know this. You must be born again. Because that's what the Lord Jesus Christ said to Nicodemus, who had every right to be proud of his heritage. Not only is he a Jew, but notice this, it says in verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees. Now that word Pharisees kind of throws us for a loop because we know that the Pharisees were greatly opposed to the Lord Jesus when he was here. But the Pharisees were not all hypocrites. In fact, many of them were very sincere. They had a desire to keep the law of Moses. They had a desire to keep the Sabbath. They had a desire to tithe of their income. They had a desire to keep the dietary laws of the Old Testament. They had a desire for ceremonial cleansing. They were pursuers of all these things that were good and righteous, but they thought that their righteousness would come in and of those very things. They're much like many religious people today, that think the outward manifestation of righteousness is somehow going to get them into heaven. That by the deeds they do and the things that they do and the attitude they have, that God's going to say, all right, I'll open the door, I'll let you in, as if the death of Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross was not important and not an issue. And here Jesus says to this very religious man who's keeping all the rituals of his stated religion, he says to that religious man, you must be born again. Notice, if you would, down in verse 10 of John 3, and we didn't read that far, but I want you to notice something else that we learned about Nicodemus. Jesus said to him in verse number 10, art thou a master of Israel? You know, that tells us that Nicodemus was an educated man. This is not some unlearned and ignorant fisherman. This is a man that's high in education, high on the scale of knowledge. In fact, as we've said before, the Pharisees, history tells us, had to have memorized the first five books of the Bible, the five books of Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. To be a Pharisee, they had to memorize all of that. That takes a highly educated individual. And yet Jesus said to this man of learning and this man of education, your education's not enough. Your religion's not enough. Your background's not enough. Where you came from, who you are. You must be born again. Jesus covers every classification of person on the earth through this one person, Nicodemus, by telling him he needed to be born again. He was an educated man, yet he didn't understand what Jesus was saying to him. You understand in just a moment, Jesus is going to say, you must be born again. He's going to say, how can a man be born when he's old? How can he enter the second time into... I don't think he's being sarcastic. I think he's blank. He's educated. He's got degrees. But he doesn't comprehend spiritual truth. And I think that's a sad truth in our day, that the more educated a person seems to be in our society, the less they seem to be open to spiritual truth. Nicodemus was an educated man. Then notice this also, one more thing about Nicodemus. Back in chapter 3 and verse number 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. So here's a man with position. Here's a man with power. Here's a man that's highly respected by all those that pass him on the street. He's recognized by everyone, not just those that know him, but everybody knows. He's a ruler of the Jews. And yet Jesus does not back down or back away, but says to that man with all of these qualifications and all these good things that could be said about him, Jesus still looks at him and says this, you, Nicodemus, a Jew, a religious man, an educated man, you, Nicodemus, a very powerful man, you must be born again. But it's not only Nicodemus that the Lord spoke to. Notice if you would something. Here's what I like about our Bible. In verse number 3, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, ye must be born again. Now, it's very popular in our day, and it has been for quite a while, to condemn or criticize the Bible because of the these and the thous. You've ever heard that before? Well, I just can't understand that Bible because thee and thou. But can I make it very simple for you? Thee and thou means you. All right? It's not hard. It's not rocket science. When you see the word thee or thou, just put in the word you if you want to. It's easy to understand. But here's the catch. The these and the thous are there to give you a higher level of information than you would have by changing the word to you. The word thee is plural and thou is singular. When it ends with the e, thee and ye, it's plural. When it ends with ou, thou and you, it's singular. In our modern English language, we have no distinction. If I were to come down and say, and look, Brother DC sitting in front and say, and I'm going to tell you, and I point to him and look at him and I say you, it sounds like I'm talking to one person. Jesus went up to Nicodemus and said, verily, verily, I say unto, not thou, not you, he said, thee. You know why? He wasn't talking just to Nicodemus. He's talking to this whole side of the auditorium, if we can put it that way. He was talking to everybody. The word thee and ye are plural. Why? Look back at verse number 1. This is great. Verse number 2. Then the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, not I know that thou art a teacher come from God. We know. You know who he's representing? He's representing all the Pharisees. And as a Pharisee, he says to Jesus, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. Therefore, Jesus says, all right, Nicodemus, then I'm going to say unto thee, plural, Pharisees, ye all, ye must be born again. So the conversation between Nicodemus and the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus was not just saying to Nicodemus, you individually, you need to be born again, but he's saying ye, all of you Pharisees, all of you religious folks, all of you cultured folks, all of you educated folks, All of those in position of power. Ye must be born again. So what a wonderful truth we come from our old English Bible in understanding what Jesus was saying. Not only to Nicodemus, but to all the Pharisees he represented, ye must be born again. But there's also another group indicated in that, and that's us. He said, well, okay, Jesus said to Nicodemus, he'd need to be born again. He's dead, he's buried, he's gone. He said to the Pharisees 2,000 years ago, you as a group need to be born again. That's fine, none of them are still around anymore. 2,000 years ago, we can pretty well assure ourselves that they're dead and gone. But Jesus' words go much farther than that. In verse 7, he said, ye must be born again. The rest of the Bible, using that phrase, indicates to you and I that those words have not fallen by the wayside. The message has not changed. The message has not been modernized to fit the day we live in. But the message is for you and I today. We need to be born again. Nicodemus, I believe, is chosen and mentioned. Many others, I'm sure, came to Jesus and questioned him during his earthly ministry. But God chose to use this example for us because Nicodemus represents all of us. Whether we are proud of our heritage and our genealogy and our family tree, whether we're proud of our religious heritage and our beliefs, whether we're proud of our education, whether we're proud of our position in life, Jesus said that all of us are lumped in one sum together. Whether it's the highly educated or the disciples that were high school dropouts, so to speak, unlearned and ignorant men, Jesus lumps everybody together and says, you must be born again. Whether you're a proud Jew with that great heritage or whether you're a sinner by nature of the Gentiles, Jesus lumps them all together and says, you must be born again. There's no place too high or too low, nothing too wide. But Jesus says to all humanity today, ye must be born again. So who was it that he said it to? Oh, it was Nicodemus, but it was also the Pharisees. And it's also you and I today. Jesus' message is, you must be born again. Then thirdly, I want to consider this, why he said it. All right, we saw who said it, who he said it to, or to whom he said it. And then we want to look at why he said it. Why did Jesus say, ye must be born again? There was an old preacher, and he used to preach all the time, you must be born again. That hardly a message went by that, at least at the end of the message, in his invitation, he wouldn't say to the folks, ye must be born again. Said it so many times that some of the church folks kind of got tired of hearing it. And after one service, some of the people came to him and said, preacher, why do you keep saying, ye must be born again? And he said, because ye must be born again. The message never gets old. The message never gets outdated. It's important as it is today as it was 2,000 years ago and every year in between. The words of Jesus were, ye must be born again. The importance of this is indicated, look if you would, in verse number 3 of John chapter 3. The importance of this statement is indicated by the words, verily, verily. In the middle of verse 3, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Verily, verily. Again, down in verse number 5, I believe it is. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. 25 times in the Gospel of John, these words are recorded that Jesus introduced a truth by saying, verily, verily. That was his way of emphasizing it. We might say today he hashtagged it. But Jesus would introduce an important truth by saying, verily, verily, I say unto thee. And here he indicates the importance of this message, and not only the importance, but the urgency. The urgency by telling Nicodemus, Nicodemus, ye must be born again. When he was telling him that, he's not talking about some day off in the future. Some period of time that's not yet come. The Bible says, behold, now is the accepted hour. Today is the day of salvation. And Jesus is saying to Nicodemus, Nicodemus, ye must be born again. He said it because it's important to do. Look, if you would, at John chapter 3 and verse number 2. Here's something very noticeable when you're reading this. Sometimes we read through it so fast because we're familiar with it, we really don't pay attention. But notice what Nicodemus says in verse 2. We know that thou art a teacher come from God. Nicodemus is recognizing and acknowledging Jesus' mission. We know that thou art a teacher come from God. Then he says, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. He recognizes not only Jesus' mission, but his miracles. So Nicodemus is coming to Jesus wanting to talk about his mission and his miracles. He wants to talk to Jesus about his earthly status. And it's almost rude in verse number 3, if you read it right, that Jesus ignores the compliments. He doesn't talk about what Nicodemus wants to talk about, but he almost interrupts him and says to him, Nicodemus, I don't care about that. Don't worry about my mission. Don't worry about my miracles. Don't worry about this earthly stuff. Don't worry about that. What you need to understand, Nicodemus, is that you need to be born again. Jesus put this emphasis on it by telling Nicodemus it wasn't enough to know what Jesus was doing and what he was capable of doing, but he needed to be born again. One thing I notice is this, talking about why he said it, you must be born again, Nicodemus never asked him why. Jesus said in verse number 3, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus didn't answer and say, why? But he answered in verse number 4 and said, how? He knew he needed something. There was no doubt in his mind he needed to be born again, but he just didn't understand how. You know, there's a lot of folks out there in the world today in society that know they need something. Their lives are miserable. Sin has ruined and wrecked them. And even if it's not that, they just have the emptiness of not knowing God, an emptiness of not knowing where they're going to spend eternity. I mean, imagine this life at its length is 60, 70, 80 years, and then after that, it's eternity in front of us. And some folks today just look at that and get paralyzed in their thoughts, not being able to comprehend what all that is. And so we put the emphasis on this time. We put the emphasis on this life. And Jesus was getting Nicodemus to look past the mission and the miracles and say, hey, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. What does it mean to be born again? What does it mean? Nicodemus didn't understand it because he said in verse 4, how can a man enter into the second time to his mother's womb and be born? It almost seems like a silly question for a highly educated man to be asking. But again, the simple truth is his education did not prepare him for spiritual truth. You can be the highest educated person. Einstein was a genius. But when it came to Scripture, he said, I cannot understand a God that's not a mathematical formula. And Einstein died and perished without Christ. One of the smartest men that ever lived. But he was a fool. Because he died without an answer to eternity. So Jesus says to him, you need to be born again. And he says, how? Can I enter the second time? But Jesus wasn't speaking of a physical birth. He was speaking of a spiritual birth. Jesus was trying to explain to him that his physical birth put him into this world, but he needed a spiritual birth to put him into the next world. You and I have life right now because we're born physically. You know how I know you were born physically? Because you're here right now. Really, that was a real tough one, wasn't it? You're sitting here, you're alive, you're breathing, I think most of you are anyways, and you're here this morning, that's an indication that you have physical life. But we need more than physical life, we need spiritual life. We need something that's not going to just get us through this world, but into the next world. And that's what Jesus was trying to explain to Nicodemus, who could not grasp the concept of something that was invisible. See, your physical birth is a visible thing. A woman goes into the hospital, or a midwife comes to the home, however they do it, and the woman gives birth, and everything's visual, and everything's seen, and there's no disputing it, no denying it. You've seen it with your own eyes. It's right there in front of you. But a spiritual birth is invisible. Jesus says in verse number 8 of John chapter 3 that the wind bloweth where it listeth. He says, as an illustration, the wind is blowing, but you can't see the wind. You can only see the effect of the wind. And he said, so is everyone that's born of the Spirit. You can't see a spiritual birth take place, but you can see the results of that spiritual birth in the life of the individual. Jesus said this, there's a natural birth. You can be born of water in verse number 5, but you need to be born of water and of the Spirit. And unless you're born of water and the Spirit, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus needed to learn that the law wasn't enough. He needed the Lord. Nicodemus was a good man. He was the best that culture could provide. A Jew. An educated man. A religious man. A powerful man of position. He was the best the world could offer. Yet Jesus said to him, you need to be born again. Why? What is it in Nicodemus' life? What made him so terrible? What made him so sinful? What made him so wicked? Well, it probably wasn't his outward actions as much as his inward attitude. He looked down upon those that were below him in position and disdained them instead of reaching down to try to lift them up. Nicodemus, Jesus said, needed to be born again. That brings me to our final consideration this morning. And that is simply this. What happens if you are? What happens if you are born again? And I'm here to tell you this morning that the wonderful promise of the Word of God is that if you're born again, you can see the kingdom of God. If you're born again, the Bible says, you can enter into the kingdom of God. I believe the indication of Scripture is that after Nicodemus left the Lord Jesus Christ that night, and he contemplated the words that Jesus spoke to him, he was born again. Because we see Nicodemus appear in other places of Scripture, no longer with the Pharisees, but now with the believers in Christ. There was a difference that happened in Nicodemus' life after John chapter 3. He hung on to the words that the Lord said. He was born again by the Spirit of God. And he got the wonderful promise, you will see, you can enter into the kingdom of God. This morning, if you've ever been born again, you've got a guarantee. You can enter into the kingdom of God. You were born physically, however many years ago you are today. You were born spiritually the day you put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ. Now, it's a difficult concept for some to handle, as it was for Nicodemus. That we need a second birth. We need a spiritual birth. That our physical birth isn't enough. Well, I was born the first time, and I'm doing the best I can, and I try to treat people right and keep the golden rule. The Bible says all our righteousness are as filthy rags. We need a spiritual birth. We don't need to just turn over a new leaf or try to change our ways. If you're 40 years old and you try to change your ways, how are you going to change to cover up for 40 years? You can't do it. Even another 40 years will not erase what you did in the first 40. How are you going to do it? You can't in the physical sense, you cannot do it. You need a spiritual birth. And that comes when we put our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior. What happens if we are born again? We have the wonderful promise that we'll see the kingdom of God. Now the other side of the coin is this. What happens if we're not? What happens if a person goes from birth to death without ever committing themselves to the Lord Jesus Christ? Saying, I can make it on my own. I can do it my own way. I can have my own fun. I can live my own life. I don't need God. I don't need Christ. I don't need to be born again. It's a free country. You're welcome to make your choices. But you're not free to choose the circumstances of those choices. That's something we're losing in society today, is it not? You're free to make your choices, but you're not free to make the consequences of those choices. And the consequences of turning down the offer to be born again is you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. There's a great man in history named Benjamin Franklin. And he was a good man. He was an inventor of many things. some weird-looking eyeglasses, the Franklin stove, many other things. He's a great part of our heritage as an American. And he lived at the time of the Great Awakening here in the United States, where George Whitefield and others were going across the colonies and preaching the gospel. And Benjamin Franklin would go out often to hear the great Methodist preacher, George Whitefield. He'd go out to the fields to listen and hear him preach. He was mesmerized by his oratory, by his ability to take spiritual things and bring them to where he could understand them. And he listened to him often. And George Whitefield wrote to Benjamin Franklin as a friend one time these words: "I find that you grow more and more famous in the learned world. As you have made such progress in investigating the mysteries of electricity, I now humbly urge you to give diligent heed to the mystery of the new birth." Yes, it's hard to understand. It's a mystery. How can a man enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And sad to say, though Nicodemus seems to have heeded the words of the Lord and committed his life to Jesus Christ, Benjamin Franklin never gave any indication of doing that. He died an intelligent and knowledgeable man. But as far as we know, he died without Jesus Christ. What a sad thing to happen to anybody. To live this life for any amount of years and to die without ever committing themselves to the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved them so much that he went to Calvary's cross and bore their sins and iniquities and transgressions and put out every drop of blood for the forgiveness of their sins and said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Don't try it on your own any longer. I will give you rest." Jesus said to Nicodemus, to the Pharisees, and he says to us today, "Ye must be born again." How is it for you this morning? I can't know your heart. I can't know your condition. But God does. Have you been born again? Have you committed your heart and life? I'm not talking about knowing about Him. I'm not talking about going to church. I'm talking about what Jesus said, being born again. How is it with you this morning? Let's stand together with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.